Well, I'd like to everyone to say hello and a warm welcome to Nancy White, who I've got here with me. Nancy is from Full Circle, and she's a specialist, I guess, in communities of practice and online facilitation. And coming up, Nancy has been working with Etienne Wenger and John Smith on a terrific book called Digital Habitats, Stewarding Technology for Communities. And there's a component in there that I want to have a chat to Nancy. So welcome, Nancy. How are you?
I'm good, Sean.
That's good. That's good. As we've sort of chatted before, Nancy, there's a section in your book around community orientations and the types of technologies that those orientations are sort of amenable to, if you like, and some of those, you know, communities are that are oriented towards meetings or communities are oriented towards expertise. And there's nine orientations. And what I was hoping we might be able to do in the next, 5 minutes or so that we have together is just talk about those orientations. But I just, maybe to get things going, I mean, where did the sort of idea behind the orientations come from? You know, what was their genesis?
Well, the orientations actually came out of some of the early work when Etienne first wrote his report for a U.S. government organization in 2000 or 2001 about technologies for communities of practice. He created this kind of circle fanning out diagram that placed various technologies around certain things that they were useful in supporting communities of practice. And as we thought about this book came from the original idea to quote-unquote update this, you know, little report, which, you know, 4.5 years later we realized it was far more than an updating of technology. But there was this thing about how do I think about what I want to look for in technologies? And we looked across a variety of communities that we know and have worked with and started noticing there's these clumps of activities that communities typically do. And each community may have two or three that are most important in their life as a community. Some may have more, some may have less. But when we looked at these sort of clumps of activities, they were grouping into what we eventually called orientations, which is a way to think of the primary energy of a community is expended in these areas. And therefore, if you're thinking about technologies to support them, what technologies are useful to support those areas or orientations.
Yeah.
So that's how it came about. And, you know, really, you could slice and dice this down to, you know, 20 bazillion. But we grouped the nine. The first part, about the first six, are really pretty intuitive. The last three actually relate to some of the dynamics we talked about earlier in a group about the tension between the group and the individual and the tension between togetherness and separateness as being sort of an ongoing dynamic that communities all face. And these orientations pay a little more attention to those dynamics.
Well, let me, for the listeners' sake, list the nine orientations. And I thought maybe we could focus on those last three. But the nine are communities that are oriented towards meetings is number one. Two is open-ended conversations. Three is projects. Four is content. Five is access to expertise. Six is relationships. And then seven is individual participation. Eight is communities oriented towards community cultivation. And the last one is the communities oriented towards serving a context. Now, this all sort of came together for me a couple of weeks ago because I'd been reading through the book, and I really like this idea of the orientations. And so I was doing a reflection session for a community practice in Adelaide, and in that group I drew a bit of a spider diagram, and I had the different orientations there, and I just asked the community where they saw themselves now, and this community was very oriented towards content and access to expertise, and a little bit on meetings. And where they wanted to see themselves in the future, and it was a remarkable insight for them in terms of, you know, what they needed to do next. And I thought that was tremendous. But I must admit, I was very clear in my mind about the first six, but 7, 8, and 9, I just needed more, I guess, understanding. So hopefully, that's where we can sort of expand that now. So in terms of things like individual participation. Are you able to give us a bit of a thumbnail, Nancy, on, on what that means and how you sort of help a community understand where they sit in that sort of orientation?
Well, sure. And individual participation is how easy or how accommodating is the community in its practices and its technology for individuals to have it their way. So is the technology interface very customizable for the individual? And in fact, can I suck the content out of the community site and bring it to the tool that I'm using now? How much does it tolerate diversity in that participation? Is it a community that really, you know, focuses on a shared, a uniform sort of way of being, and therefore, you know, a shared platform often reinforces that? Or is it really tolerant of a huge range of participation styles and points of views, idiosyncrasies? And in the network age, I think it's very interesting. I think we have more communities now that are supportive of individual participation than we used to have when our communities were primarily face-to-face and face-to-face meeting-based.
Does this have ramifications for how communities define their domain and sort of the scope of the community when you're dealing with that level of diversity?
It could, but I don't think it necessarily does.
Uh-huh.
I think of how they want to engage around that domain, that's the difference.
Right.
Some of the challenges of individual participation tend to be perhaps less ability to feel cohesive in the community dimension, because it is more network-like than community-like.
Yeah, right. Yep.
It may have less attention to relationship as a whole and perhaps more to relationship between individuals if relationship is important. It also can be simply a reflection of time zone diversity or technological diversity. So that diversity can be expressed in a lot of different ways, and each community is going to have to accommodate a different sort of set of diversity.
And so is... Diversity.
Yeah, plural.
Yeah, that's right. The so then, in terms of the number 8 orientation, community cultivation, is that just the flip side then to the individual participation orientation?
No, it's not the flip side, though they may not be, a community may not be strong in both 7 and 8. Yep. If it's very strong in individual participation, it may choose not to devote time to community cultivation, which is orientation 8. And that is... groups that are attentive to democratic governance. They have a strong core group that really attends to what the community needs. There may be an explicit role for internal coordination. There may be resources for external facilitation to bring in. It feeling that, you know, how we interact with each other on an ongoing basis is really central. So a community that is trying to build sustainable agriculture in a local community have a lot of reasons to be very strong on the community cultivation, because they have interactions with each other beyond their domain. They have a lot of interdependencies. You know, their individual life outside their community still has interdependencies. Or it may be a community that's emerging in a corporation that really, this community is seen as really strategically important. And it doesn't really know itself yet, so there's a lot of resources dedicated to the community finding itself, getting to know each other. So it can also have a life stage implication as well.
Okay.
And from a technology standpoint, you're attentive to tools that help a community see how it's doing. So reflection on the health of the community may be something that shows up in terms of both technology and process.
Right, right. Yeah, no, that's good. The I guess with all these things, the important thing to note is that they're not mutually exclusive, these orientations. Communities can have one or more of these different focuses, I guess.
Absolutely. They can have, and most do. I don't, you know, I can't think of a community that has only one, if you think about it.
Oh, yeah.
But what they're an interesting tool to just kind of assess where your community is. They give us a language to talk about how we're doing or what's important to us, and therefore how we support what's important to us. So, you know, and they can they certainly shift over time.
The one that I guess I found the most difficult was the orientation number 9, serving a context. And so,
Okay.
yeah, where do, tell me a little bit about that one.
That is about, is a community just focused internally on itself? You know, three people who are analyzing each other's dreams over a period of 10 years. They're not interested in telling other people about their dreams. They're purely focused inwardly. Another group, for example, the corporate example I gave you, may be focused on serving the needs of the corporation, not just their own practice. So they have an orientation not just towards their own internal life, but the life of the corporation. A community that I belong to called Knowledge Management for Development has an extremely outward-looking focus in that our goal is to share whatever we learn out with the world because we feel the practice has an importance to a much larger field than our own community itself. So the, or I may be a community that's concerned about crossing organizations. So I have to attend to the different contexts of our members as they exist in different organizations. So this is really, where do we sit in the larger world? Are we really connected to open networks? Are we really inwardly focused?
Okay, yeah, that's very
Does that
nicely
make
put. That's
sense?
nicely put, actually, Nancy. That helps a lot. I mean, in fact, I think that's one of the stumbling points for many communities, that they can get so internally focused, which is important in the early stages because you have to provide benefits to the members. But until you work out that you're that activity is for a wider purpose or to serve the context, especially in an organizational setting, which is, I guess, my focus.
Yeah, but there are still, you know, cabals.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Well, that's terrific, and thanks very much for sort of taking us through some of those. This is all, I guess, preceding the publication of Digital Habitats. I mean, the book overall is about the key role of the technology steward, and their role, and the way the orientations are related to the technology aspect is that different orientations, you know, is it, am I right in thinking that different orientations have different technologies that would best suit that orientation? Is that the main component of where the orientations sit, Nancy?
Well, there's two levels. One is the level we've just been talking about, which is how do I see my community and understand my community? So as a, you know, kind of a reflective diagnostic. And I personally use the orientations even outside of the technology context. They're a way to understand a community. They're a way to, as you said, think aspirationally about one's community. In the context of technology stewarding, yes, they're about how do I assess and evaluate a technology in terms of supporting my orientation. So if I have a very content-centric community, I want a tool that can really help me share and manage content. But if I'm not, then why do I have a CMS, you know?
Yeah,
Poosh.
get rid of
Yeah,
it.
keep it simple. Because you're really, you know, communities are complex enough as they are with their own human dynamics. So if you can think about your technology strategically and as simple as possible, you're probably better off, unless you're a highly technical community that is focused on complex technology.
That's terrific. Look, I think that's a good place to wrap it up. Thank you very much, Nancy, for that. I really appreciate it. And anyone who would like to know more about Nancy's work, just Google Full Circle or Nancy White, and you'll find her very easily. And hopefully you'll enjoy this little podcast. Bye for now. Thanks, Nancy.
Thank you. Bye-bye.